It is episode 30 of the All About Counter-Strike podcast. We're back again, but I'm going to start by just going through exactly how we're going to do the next couple of episodes. So Bucharest, Chengdu, very close together, like super close together. It's even going to be a struggle for some of the teams. Well, the only team that made it to playoffs, Pain, in order to get to Chengdu, because they're double dipping on both events. And we're going to do an episode now, which is not really touching too much on Bucharest. It's not going to be a full review. We're just going to look back at some points, touch on some key points from the teams. Then we're going to do a lot about Chengdu, a lot about recent news. And then we'll be doing another episode, probably just before Chengdu actually starts, where we'll do all of the PGL stuff and then anything else that's come out from the news. So a bit of a split episode. I just felt like...
Is this when we announced that this will be a shorter episode as well?
So everyone in chat goes, yes, short episode. And then afterwards they see the time. This should actually be a short episode. This should be two shorter episodes. And the reason we've done this is often people see the podcast come out because obviously we edit it. We don't release in like one day. We're not as savvy with that. We try to make sure some edits done, everything's done correctly. And so what ends up happening is an episode is there and then the event starts in like a few hours and then you guys don't really need to watch it from there. So we're trying to do things a bit smarter and all stuff like that. But I'll do my usual. It is the 31st of October, 2025. It is Halloween, Lanoween for some people in the world. I'll talk about that in a little bit of detail. It is 3:18 in the afternoon. For me, that means it's 2:18 for Devwalk in the afternoon for him. Yep. We always have such random start times because we yap so much before we get started on the episode. DW, what have you been doing, my friend, in the last 9 days?
Well, I've only watched Counter-Strike. It's I have
pretty good.
Not even gamed that much. I think I've played maybe, I don't know, two games of Deadlock in the past week. Otherwise, I've been...
Rookie numbers for you.
Yeah, very rookie numbers. So essentially, I've just tried to catch up on all the events, tried to prepare a little bit, you know, just generally watch as much Counter-Strike as I can. And yeah, that's it.
I have still been recovering. I went back to the doctor and he said still another 2 weeks of recovery, which sucks, but I am diabetic, so it takes a bit longer. I need to fly soon, so let's see how that goes when you've got problems with your ass. them implants going to be really rough by the end of it. They're going to be rough by the end of it all, but it should be fine. Obviously, I did tell people last episode I would be doing PGL Masters. Sadly, I was confirmed. I was doing PGL Masters, had all the flights booked. I'll just say this. PGL is the most understanding and caring tournament organizer I get to work with. Like, some of them can be understanding, but you maybe get the impression that, oh, you've done bad by this. Obviously, health problems can pop up at any point. But I was supposed to be ready to go to Bucharest and go to PGL Masters. I was excited for it. But obviously... Yeah. Doctor said, no, I can't risk it, the pressure and stuff. So had to skip that one, which means my year has been really, really bad up until this point. But it is what it is. And then what have I been doing? I played some Dragon Ball, as always. I couldn't stay at the computer for too long. Couldn't sit down for too long. It's getting better now for sure. Actually, yesterday, I'll tell you this cool thing. So this guy, his name is Hildbot. He messaged me on Reddit like 2 months ago. And he said that him and his friends from Germany do a LAN event that's been running for 20 years and they call it Lanoween. Now, they started in their 20s doing this, playing Counter-Strike, just loving the game. It's not like competitive. It's not like 10 mans or something like that. This is like 16 plus guys. Sometimes we're 8v8, 6v6, 10v10, playing together. Now, they just hit me up and they said, oh, it'd be awesome if you could join us for a few games. And I said, okay, I'm at Bucharest. There's no way I can do this. Honestly, I thought it was a bot messaging me because he has bot in his name, but it's actually just his nickname. So I did tell him, maybe have a better nickname because I could have just ignored this message. Now, I know a lot of people will say, oh, don't read comments, don't read messages. I try to still keep myself where I reply to people who DM me. I can't reply to all of them. Some people just write horrible shit and they are mental and they're very evil people. But I mean, there are some good comments in there. I'm not focusing on the good comments, but like even a nice message like this. So obviously I didn't go to Bucharest. So yesterday I said, cool, I'll come join you guys for some games. I ended up playing for 5 hours with them. Guess who was also there? Gooseman, the founder of Counter-Strike, the creator of our beautiful game, he also agreed to come play with these guys on his just morning wake up. He was doing it from Canada with like 150 ping. So we played Prodigy, Assault, Aztec, Compound, which I'd never played before. It was an interesting map.
Compound.
What map is that? Bro, it's a hostage map, but it's huge. It's just massive, and it's so much open space.
Okay.
I'll have to show it to you. I'd never seen it before. Like, it's not a map I know. And then we ended on Italy as well. Dude, this took me back. But another thing to say about these guys, not only are they, like, hardcore gamers like that, but they also are all 35 plus. So I'm 35, right? They're all older than me. Some of them are in their 40s. They've got wives, kids. This is just like their drinking, man cave, dungeon party. And it was so much fun. Like, it gave me a real old school vibe of just playing Counter-Strike. Like, I didn't care about being super competitive. We were just laughing, joking, answering questions. I was popping heads a little bit and just running around, playing out with some crazy weapons. I had a shotgun.
You were bragging. You had like 48 kills before we went
in a losing game. Take it this way, right? They scrambled the teams like random every single time. So it's just like a free fall, whoever's on there. Dude, we were 10-2 down on Italy. And Italy's really hard when you start CT side. We go onto the T side. Dude, it's 8v8, yeah? I am 48 kills. I am trying so hard to push us back into this game. But like, when there's that many people running at you, sometimes it's just, if they just run you down, there's not enough bullets in your gun. I couldn't even get to my pistol. I'm already being attacked. I'm getting hit by grenades and mollies and stuff. And there was a guy called Snake. He was like, he could shoot. He was pretty good as well. And me and him were just having a back and forth. And like, whenever I knew whenever it was him, because he shot differently, you know, like, okay, it's him. It's not like I can't just run out to my craziness. But yeah, it was so much fun. I'm probably going to go join them again and play a little bit today because they're doing like, by the way, considering their age, they're like 12 hours deep, going 14 hours, just playing nonstop doing this. So it's a vibe. It's a real vibe. I'm going to put some pictures up that you guys can see in the podcast as well. We'll do that in the edit at the same time. So my time's been fun. But where should we start with the podcast, Evwalk? I think we should start with the major news.
Yeah, we can start there.
We're both finally going to be in person at an event. So first of all, huge congratulations to you for getting it. But let's start with this. The amount of comments I got that you are a Nepo hire, which means just because you're my friend. I didn't even know what Nepo hire was. That was a very weird term. Then they also said that Ted was a Nepo hire. Bro, I didn't know Ted. Like, I think I only followed him when he got hired for the major.
Yeah, I worked with him in the Star Ladder event. I actually really enjoyed working with him. I thought it was easy to kind of do segments with him, kind of just talk Counter-Strike in general, instead of it becoming, you know, too robotic in a sense. Like, because obviously when you're doing broadcasts like this, first of all, you know, you're kind of matching up with people who do highlights for you or rounds, and you kind of give them a little bit of a script that you follow. And we had a good kind of working balance where we kind of built a good storyline, I thought, with the clips that we chose and the way we wanted to drive the conversation. So I actually enjoyed working with him like a lot. I thought it was really, really easy to work with, which is something I value, like in anything. You know, if someone is easy to work with, you know, they're usually, you know, receptive to your ideas and they bring their own, they take initiative, all that stuff. So it was good. Good time.
Well, and I'll say this, right, because it is quite funny. Like, this is a small talent list for a major. This is not a big talent list. It's not like you'd normally see maybe one or two more analysts and they're maybe not playing during the playoffs or something. Definitely would have another interviewer, for example. Yeah. But they said, but wait, we might have a few more surprises in store. By the way, the amount of people that were in my Twitch chat even yesterday, and they're like, oh, you must know what's happening. I'll say this, Star Ladder did not hire me for all their CS events. Like, I'm one of the people, I got hired for the major back in 2019, but I wasn't at all their CS events. I worked more of their PUBG events in PUBG and PUBG Mobile than I did CS. So like, I don't have that much insight into what's going on or who's there. I do agree with the community sentiment that like Yanko should be there. One of the best analysts we have. There's no way he shouldn't be there, in my opinion. But also, we're in a world where every tournament organizer is trying to be different. Like, look at this. PGL recently have had Prof and Striker. They brought Vendetta back as well, you know? They brought Dust back. people are mixing things up. And I guess everyone wants to have a bit of a different flavor with it. I think I'm very happy that obviously I do get to work it, but I'll say this, I'm going to need some backup. So whoever these guests are, someone needs to tell me soon enough, because otherwise this is going to be one exhausting major, bro. This is because we agree to the event, right? You agree a day rate, you agree what you're getting paid, you agree all the situations, but you don't know who else is going to be hired. Obviously, me and you know, because we're talking about it. I didn't know the rest of the talent lineup in there.
No, but, you don't know until people are hired, essentially.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about you because obviously, yes, you are my friend, but I had nothing to do with you getting hired. You worked at StyleAdder before I did. You were doing some online stuff for them. So you made it very clear on this podcast you wanted to do talent work. I think you've even tweeted it before. But I'll say this about Ted. For anyone that's slamming Ted, he is so in with the tier 2-3 scene. Even from like on his talent announcement, players congratulating him and praising him on this, like getting the chance to do the major. I think people will be surprised by him. I think we saw this back at Blast Paris Major where there were some like tier 2, tier 3 commentator people. Yeah. And it's so important because look at the teams that are there in the first two stages. It's not your very elite team.
100% like on point, because I think he obviously casts a lot of tier 2 games on a daily basis.
So many people I've not watched until I get to the major.
Yeah, but he has more knowledge about that side of the space than anyone else. So in that terms, it's a really good balance to get someone that has that knowledge to kind of give you a little bit more insight and history, both in terms of matchups, but also like kind of the journey that some of these players have gone through without just looking at a page, you know, kind of. You know, he's seen them play and develop as players as well, not just, you know, on kind of static research paper, seeing he went from that team to that team. You know, he's kind of seen their journey. So I think that's a really good, you know, talent to have in that terms.
And I'll praise a thing here that, like, for example, Maui, I know, is always watching so many demos of these teams.
Yeah.
And the great thing is that Mario will go back and do all that research. I do a lot of Skybox Edge stuff. So if I want to look back at some of these teams that I haven't seen all year, right, and they've made the major, then I'll go through it and look at that way and see how they play. But I mean, I'm not like Ted. Like, I've not commentated the games. I've not sat there and watched all the games. Yeah. And to go back and watch all their history of games is a lot to do. Possible. So it's nice to have him in this point. But either way, I'm intrigued to see what these few surprises will be in store. It says our special guests, but knowing like the special guests normally, this would probably be like a Pasha and other people like that. I would assume. Let's see how it works out. But either way, I'll just remind everyone that I was inside the arena for the major. It was incredible. I still think it's the most modern arena we've ever had for a CS major, and I'm excited about that side of things. But let's keep moving on with the news. Congratulations to my friend Devilwalk. As obviously you got hired because of me, not that you're actually super knowledgeable about CS, yeah? Not that you won a major as a coach and a player, not that you've still got, I think you still got like 3K ELO now, like definitely knows CS, definitely knows CS.
I mean, I think to one degree I'll mention this, it is understandable because like the community reaction to some sense, because when you're a coach, you're very much in the background, even though you're very active in the game. You're not in the spotlight. You're not, you know, in everyone and the community's eyes. It's usually, you know, these coaches that made the journey, like, you know, obviously Ashy does a lot of video content and content creation as well. And that kind of pushes him towards that spotlight. And so obviously you've seen like huge improvements in terms of that space. But not many coaches get, you know, spotlights. There's like 3 or 4 that people like generally talk about. So in that sense, I understand, you know, the point of view where it just comes out of completely nowhere for some people. I get that.
Yeah, well, we're proven wrong at the major, man. That's your job to do now, not mine.
Yeah.
All right, from major discussions, let's have a quick review. This is not going to be the full review of PGL Masters Bucharest 2025 because it became a bit of a wild one, Devilwalk. It became a bit of a throw around of teams fighting and hoping and believing in each other in some ways. But Wait a sec. There's one name here. There's one blank column. Did we miss something here? Because I'm looking at our. Did we not miss a game? No, there's eight. Okay, it's just our bad coding. That was fine.
Okay.
So let's look back at our predictions. Yeah, for the opening games.
Terrible ones.
Terrible for who?
Me.
To tell people this, yeah, we don't tell each other what we're predicting. We send it to our editor beforehand. Then we say it ourselves, so we can't go back on our words. Luckily, some people made changes, like me. Just one when I saw about the Nip Heroic news happening. This is what's crazy, right? I said that Heroic would win because Snappy wasn't there. Then Snappy came back, and I was like, damn it, Devil's going to get a point because he still believed in Nip, and still Heroic won. God bless Heroic right now.
No, but I mean, if you want to delve into that one, I mean, Heroic has looked incredible. Like, they have really turned like a page in their performance.
Yeah.
I think I've watched them and, you know, I mean, one part of it is obviously NIP were disappointing. They didn't really get into the games at all. It felt disconnected. They didn't really show much like the whole tournament. While the Heroics were on the complete reverse, they were, I think they went 3-0, right? In the, yeah.
Yes.
So they beat Aurora, they beat BetBoom, and they were quite convincing in all of their matches. You know, obviously, like they had full control throughout. It never felt like they were going to lose a map, even when they were playing Aurora or BetBoom. BetBoom probably the closest one, but... Yeah, I was super impressed by them. And you got to give credit to, obviously, not only the players themselves, like xCloud has been absolutely beast mode, but also want to kind of highlight the coach of Toby's who had a difficult kind of job to go into, losing a lot of their like star players like Teneer, and then getting into this situation where... Obviously, I think they had to convince xCloud to come back to the lineup. He comes in, so obviously leaves, who is a very highly respected coach. Mm-hmm. Toby is coming from the Mouse NXT project and comes into this. And I, you know, we were talking about this, that Heroic's going to fall off pretty quickly, which mm-hmm. they did once Saul left. But this seems to locate. They've found their own way of working their way upwards, and they're now looking to be in a state where, you know, at least form-wise in this tournament, it's a bit early to tell unless they start, you know, fighting a bit bigger opponents. But they're still mm-hmm. looking, you know, really, really strong where they could challenge for, like, a top 10-ish ranking. In my eyes at the moment. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm super impressed by them.
Let's go for our predictions anyway, right? Before, obviously, we just touched a little bit on Heroic. But Legacy Liquid, we both said Legacy. We were both wrong. Pain Gentlemates, we both said Gentlemates. Pain suddenly found their form again. Game Legion FlyQuest, we both said Game Legion. We got the win. Nip Heroic, obviously, we discussed it. Heroic, I chose. Nip, you chose. Heroic won. 3D Max Saw, double 3D Max, they won. BetBoom versus MIBR, BetBoom won. Aurora Fnatic, I chose Aurora. You, some reason, chose Fnatic. Luckily, Aurora did pull through. Astralis Bait, you said Astralis, I said Bait. And then for the overall winner of the whole tournament, even though the tournament hasn't ended, they didn't even make it to the playoffs. We did 3D Max, both of us, and we were both massively wrong. So I got 6 out of 9 on my opening predictions. You got 3 out of 9. But I will say this, this was a real coin flip of an event. This was a lot of luck in the event as well. We're not going to be doing some crazy full review right now of everything Bucharest, but we will touch on a couple of teams. So,
I mean, we can go through some of the predictions because, like, as you mentioned, like, even the ones we got wrong, you look at Pain Gentlemates, it's an overtime win for Pain on Ancient, a pretty close one on Mirage. You look at the Legacy Liquid one. We have, you know, a 13-1 win or 13-11 win on Legacy on Mirage. And then Liquid kind of pull it back in 13-7, 13-9. But that's kind of the problem with Legacy. they are a little bit inconsistent with their play style. And, you know, I think all of these, like, games, even the Aurora Fnatic one, is of an overtime win for Aurora as well. So there's a lot of close games, at least in the opening part of Bucharest.
What I thought we'd do is just look at the teams that have already been eliminated, right? So just ignoring playoffs for now. There's a few that I think we should touch on. For example, Ninjas in Pyjamas.
Yep.
We were so, I wouldn't say fully impressed, but happy to see the development of the team at Star Series, right? I understand it's hard not knowing if Snappy's going to play, if he is going to play or not, but then you get the full roster back for Bucharest, and maybe Snappy's not going to be as hot, but it's still cool good. But they lose to Heroic, that Saw game. Remember, we were talking about that Saw game on train because, like, they had it lost. They looked like they were pulling it back. They get it into overtime. That miss from Wrinkle, obviously, it's not all on him, right? That's just one of the occasions. It was just a crazy miss. I'm not going to say Nip should be beating Saw every single time of the day, but for Nip to be at the major and he now ready to perform, this is not a good sign that then you lost to Heroic, Saw, and Gentlemates.
No.
And go 0-3.
I mean, that train game, which we were chatting, I think it was something like, okay, Saw, they were absolutely destroying NIP after the half switch. They got 5 rounds in a row, 11-6. And then NIP just pulled it back. They had control again, but there were so many wonky rounds in this series that just felt like, I don't know, it felt like, you know, if we're honest, NIP should probably beat Saw 9 out of 10 times. If you look at the rankings, the results they had in the past. So I think this is like a really good showing for Saw, a really poor one from NIP, and especially the fact that it's not only, you know, just losing to Saw, it's them going into 0-3 in an event where they're probably, you know, they should probably be in playoff contention.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that they shouldn't, or they're at least on the line, because you have Aurora, Freedomax, Liquid, Astralis, but, you know, Astralis, for example, they're probably a bit overranked compared to
definitely
where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one of these, like, okay, if they're going to make it to like a stage 3 of a major, these are the teams that they're going to be playing against to reach that point. And to go 0-3, it's not looking good. And it's like Snappy said in the interview, it's a good wake-up call for them. It's obvious that they cannot just kind of cruise their way into the major. They need to step up and fix a lot of the issues that they had this event.
From NIP, we should definitely look at 3D Max. Because, dude, I had them. I don't know, maybe I just was glorifying what I saw at CAC. But I thought that, like, they were maybe finally over a hump, especially with the level of teams here, that they should be easily in playoffs, fighting for a trophy again, you know, having a chance here. But start off beating Saw. Okay, I'm expecting that. It was good. A good performance as well. Lose to Bait 2-0, lose to FlyQuest 2-1, lose to Astralis. This was Astralis with the full team as well. Device was playing at this point. Like, all of these teams mentioned, every team they faced, I would on any normal day say that 3D Max are the favorites. Including 100%. Astralis. And it's not even just ranking. It's like the way they've been playing since Gravity's become IGL, seeing what Mac has been able to do, like looking at Exercise, for example, right? He's been starting to perform individually like a little bit better. We spoke many times on a podcast about what we want to see more from Body, but I'm not going to put this event on him. I just felt like I'd love to know if they were maybe, I don't know, just overconfident, something didn't click, but this is a worrying sign for them to go into Chengdu and then go into the major. Considering, like, you would take the CAC as a high and then this drop off. So something has to be performing better when it comes to the next events. But I'm a little bit nervous for them because this is a bit of problems creeping in.
I think it's a little bit of a return to an old pattern where, you know, some of their individuals are inconsistent. You look at Maka, for example. He did not have a great event. I'm going to actually check up what his actual stats is for this event just quickly.
0.97.
And you know, he is, yeah, okay, 0.97. He's supposed to be that star player. He did not show up in almost any game. I think it was one game he kind of showed up in, but the rest of them were below par, you know, below 1.0 rating. I think that's just not good enough if, because they are a difficult team. They need that star player and they need a more consistent star player. And, you know, Maka, he can have incredible highs as a player. That's what they need. And obviously, you know, even their win against Saw, Maka still had, was posting a 0.93 rating when they won 13.5 and 13.8. So he did not have a great tournament. And I think that's kind of the difference maker for them. Obviously, you can look at, you know, I was disappointed they lost against Bait, who I feel are a bit inconsistent. They've swapped IGL. There's a lot of things that kind of needs to click for them before we see the real Bait again.
Definitely.
And obviously FlyQuest, I think that one is a bit of, you know, we'll probably touch on them a little bit later, but they were, this is the best FlyQuest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's by a large margin.
I'd agree with that. I feel 3D Max, I'm not going to be too critical of them just from this event. I do love the point you mentioned about Maka inconsistent as a star now, right? The problem was we used to see this same inconsistency. Like sometimes, even when he was leader, he was owning. I was like, oh, Maka, like this is real nice. I was like, and it, my brain always said, imagine if he wasn't IGL. This could be really good, you know, like all these things. But seeing this same inconsistencies when he doesn't have this burden, maybe it's a him problem, but I'm like, it's, I'm not going to put this one event, like I said, on him being that's the problem, you know? I can still give it a bit more, but it's something we have to look at. It's something we have to be aware of.
He needs to be consistent if they are going to find consistency, because and he needs to be consistently overperforming compared to his teammates. He's been given that space now, and you know, it's not about criticizing, you know, him as an individual. I just think if they're going to take the next step in their development and, you know, be a consistent playoffs teams, which I have hope for them to be able to pull off, I think that he is the key. You know, he carries a big burden of that, taking the next step.
Yeah, definitely. I think we can go from 3D Max. We don't need to really talk too much about BetBoom. I didn't expect so much from them. But Fnatic, because I'm going to keep putting these guys under the microscope. They made the wrong decision. I don't care that the guy, what's his name? Ross R. By the way, I like Ross. I've always liked what he did. I think he was even back in the old days on Endpoint, if it was. Let me just check. But they put a video out, right? Discussing their decision. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Okay, so they put a... where is he? Let's find Ross. Ross R. So he used to be Endpoint coach into manager. Now he's a Fnatic manager, he's also like analyst. He's same age as me, so 1990. I've always respected what he'd done and what he'd seen. He puts out a very open video. We don't get this enough from organizations, right? Yep. So let me see. I'm going to find him on Twitter as well. Where is also? So they don't give us the clarity. So many times we're sat here as pundits guessing. His actual title is strategy and analyst lead, just to be clear. But his tweets are protective. Only approved followers can see Ross R's post. Solid. Can't see anything. They did a video. Wait, it must have been on YouTube that I watched him. Fnatic, yes. Let me find this, because
what's the NHL TV?
Here we go. Fnatic CS2 Reflections. CAC Shanghai roster moves and major qualifications. And it's a whole, it's 34 minutes, a whole video talking about this, right? First of all, Fnatic, I respect you for putting out this video and telling us everything from your opinion and like that it was down here. This is really good to hear. The decisions were between Cypher and Jocasmo staying, Crims going, And then obviously Crimson Jacasmo staying and Cypher going, which they went with, or even Crimson Cypher staying and not having Jacasmo. They obviously believed in Jacasmo for the future, but I'm just going to say, even if you think this, even if it's a long-term plan for Fnatic, right now, what I'm seeing, this isn't it. This isn't it. He's performing worse, Jacasmo, right? And obviously, I'm sure, and this is, people are going to think like I'm just hating on Fnatic. No, I was a big fan of Jacasmo, Fear, Jambo, the whole Passion team when they came through Shanghai. I was in their practice rooms with them, talking to them, learning about these guys, seeing it. I'll just say, Jacasmo's still young. There's a lot of pressure on him, 18 years old, because of this move and all the stuff on social media, that maybe he wasn't ready for it because he performed worse than Fear the whole event. Blame F was doing his best mega carry duties, just saying, someone please save me from Fnatic. Please, someone take me to a better team. But like, I will say this, they don't seem now that they are in a fixable situation before the major. This is a team that I could see that would even struggle to maybe make it through to the next stage. They've got no other events after Bucharest, so they can have a full boot camp, full practice time, whatever they need. But I need to see a very different looking Fnatic if they want to have a chance of going from stage three to stage two.
Yeah, the one thing I will argue kind of in favor of Jacasmo in this sense is that he has not had a lot of time with the lineup.
Yeah, I agree.
So not against there is, you know, that sense of, you know, is he a little bit confused? He's not really comfortable. He can't really showcase, you know, his skill set in the same way that, you know, obviously a Cypher did. Obviously, he did not have a lot of time either during his Fnatic stint. Yeah. But he was also struggling in the beginning. And I think it's also in terms of their play style, the way they call, it's very, you know, I think it's very like kind of slow paced. It's kind of creeping up. It's very spread out. So you have a lot of responsibility as an individual player. And that takes a little bit time to get meshed right, especially with when you have, you know, people like BlameF who are a little bit on the slower side in terms of how they approach the game.
Yep.
To find the right timing and balance. So in that sense, I will give him a little bit more time before I judge it. And I also kind of want to mention, Crims did look good. He actually looked good this
event.
He's
probably now fighting for his spot, thinking, actually, if I don't perform, I'm definitely getting kicked after the major.
Yeah.
He can't coast anymore. He can't coast. He must know from that video, right? That's the one thing I got from this video, that he's not untouchable. We can say as analysts and pundits that, like, Cypher would have been a better decision for the long term, yeah? Crims has been there forever. And I know, like, you played with him. You won with him, right?
Yeah.
He's an amazing player. But it's been a long time of being media. Yeah, he's just on media. Mediocre. How do you say it? Mediocre. There we go.
Yeah.
Long time of being mediocre. So it's good to see him have some moments. But I will also put some to this. Jambo was, I will say that this has hurt other players. All of this has made other players drop down. BlameF will always do BlameF things, yeah? He was one of the highest rated players at the tournament, despite them losing. But Jambo, who was like, dude, there was rounds where he was entry AWPing. I remember on Ancient, he's running up the ramp and he is the first one in with an AWP and hitting shots. He seems to be lost. He had multiple bad games. Yeah. And I'm not, even you might look at the rating and say it wasn't a bad game. It's a bad game for him. And so, you're back with Jacasmo. You've also got Fear alongside you. Like, maybe there's just, like, there's a whole downgrade here.
Let me raise a question to you. Mm-hmm. Do you think that kind of is because, you know, obviously the Ukrainian boys is probably the one supporting Jacasmo and trying to tell him more and, you know, maybe taking on some of his responsibility to help him out. This is what we're doing and explaining things to Ukrainian, losing their own focus kind of in the game. Oof. It's a scenario I would hope
Jambo's
see
not doing it. I hope if anyone's doing it, it should be Fear, not Jambo, you know? You can't have a star AWPer with the impact he has being the one doing that.
Yeah, but maybe it's not, you know, like a set thing, but it's just something like Fear is thinking of a call and Jambo kind of jumps in to try to explain exactly what happens while Fear is making, you know, adjustments or whatever in a call. I could see that being at least a situation. But did you also see this cool thing they did? I saw it on Reddit, right? Where you know, all players have like their logo or whatever in as their profile Steam picture.
Yeah.
So they had a different version for the Ukrainians compared to the for Crimson and Blameth, so they could instantly see who had died, like in the game, and if it's only Ukrainians left, they would speak Ukrainian.
Really?
Like based on the logo of
what?
Yeah. I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, find this for me because I didn't see that. But that's cool. That's cool.
I will find it. Let's see here. Should be like past week or something.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too long ago. You just saw it. But that's a nice thing them to be using anyway. If you can't find it, there's no point of us waiting around for it. But no, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into Gentlemates matches. I'll just touch on one thing around Gentlemates, is that like they've still got a way to go. Yeah. They beat NIP and they beat BetBoom. But I do love that Alex's interview he did with HLTV, where he said beating Vitality and beating some of these other teams like they did at Pro League is not worth anything unless you unless you find the consistency, you know? So that's actually huge. So I feel like, those victories over Vitality GT don't mean anything if you don't find consistency. There's the exact quote. Yep. I love that. This is good mentality for me. I'm really happy that he's taking this approach. And I still believe we're just going to see them steadily rise. This wasn't a great event for them. They may have had a chance to get playoffs, but I think it's respectable for them considering where they're at, you know? They're still in a lot of learning phase.
100%. I think, you know, they've kind of rocketed up in some sense in their progression. Because I don't think a lot of eyes were on this team a couple months back at all. And now, you know, they're in a space, they're in a place, almost in the sense of where I saw NIP a couple of months back when they started to upset a few of the big teams, played closely. They obviously had the drop-off, but Gentlemen's is in that space, and they definitely have a chance to kind of grasp their way upwards and you know, pull them towards that old kind of movie star riders themed ranking.
Yep.
But it's looking good. Right. I like the way they play also, and I love Martinez.
I think it's just Martinez. I don't know what he says. I'll ask him next time I see him. But he's starting to even do some more content interviews. His English is getting a bit better as well. I think he, like I said, I think I've said this before. He's always good in every map to at least get you one crazy highlight. And he has got just next level confidence, you know? And it's so good to see. I think a lot of that playing in South America on the 9Z team helped him with that crazy fast plays, rushing out, you know. You can't be sitting around waiting. You're not going to be so much of a stable AWPer. So, yeah, I think Gentlemates is a team that I would expect to make the next major, you know, the Cologne major. I think them to be in another point for that.
Yeah.
But from Gentlemates, we can go to FlyQuest. You already said this, so I'll let you start. You already said, what did you say about FlyQuest? The best FlyQuest we've seen?
I think this is one of the best versions of FlyQuest we've ever seen, if not 100%. The absolute best. And I mean, the only real difference, because I mean, even with JKS coming in, we've seen them a couple of events, they've looked terrible. Like JKS has not looked himself. The team hasn't really performed. They're almost, to me, like every time you open an event page, they're ranked the lowest and probably go out first. That's kind of been my feeling, no matter who they've played against. It'd be almost an upset if they got a win at an event.
Yeah.
This event, though, Azer coming in as a coach, very experienced, you know, player, lovely guy, obviously, you know, has been in that, you know, best Australian Counter-Strike team of their time. And, you know, comes with a lot of experience.
Yes.
He comes in, he switches up, changes positions in this team.
Isn't that crazy, by the way?
It makes sense. Yeah, it is crazy.
I love it. I actually love it.
It's great. And they're looking like an actual competitive team now, no matter who they were playing. Let me actually pull up. They played Gamer Legion first game. They got to overtime against Gamer Legion. They almost snatched a win against them. It was like a 19-15 and a 13-11 loss. Mm-hmm. They get to play Fnatic and win against Fnatic in a 2-0.
Yep.
And then 3D Max. They win Train 13-9. They lose Inferno 13-8 and win Dust 2 13-10. That's a solid win.
Can I stop you on Liquid? Because people would just look at FlyQuest before you... I'll let you say a bit after. People will stop at FlyQuest and say, oh, they lost 2-0 to Liquid and 2-0 to Legacy afterwards. But it isn't that.
No, I saw so much
more, especially in this Liquid game, for me personally.
They probably should have won this game. And I think if you look at Mirage as an example, they were 10-2 up on the CT side.
Yeah.
There were so many close rounds from Liquid where you could just see this frustration. And this is where they haven't had really, you know, enough maybe experience or enough time with Acer to kind of find a way, how do we close these games out? Because they should have 100% won Mirage. They played great Counter-Strike. They made it really, really close. Liquid, obviously, they came back to it. But this is a sense of where you have such a big lead, you're scared of losing, that eventually you end up losing. So, how much time have Acer been on the lineup? It says 5 days he's officially been in this team. Obviously announced, he's probably had maybe a week or so before that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a huge progress.
We're
starting to see some of these players be like the actual potential of them. And I love it that Acer kind of come in and said, you know, this doesn't really make sense, guys. Maybe you like this position, but it doesn't really make sense, like as a unit, as a team, synergy wise.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, the game against Legacy, I felt like they had a chance. Especially on that Dust 2, it was a couple of rounds where they threw away against some anti-eco situations, etc. Couldn't really get their CT side defense going the way they wanted. And a lot of that was because of Lux. Lux was incredible on the T side for Legacy. Kept getting double entries.
He's just a fragging IGL, man.
Screwed FlyQuest over and over again. But yeah, good signs for FlyQuest. I love what I'm seeing. I think they're actually exciting to watch. They're making games close, and they probably should have made playoffs with their performances this event.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely close for them to have the opportunity. And I'll say, I love the addition of Azza, because obviously he has a relationship with JKS anyway, right, from the past. And it's going to be a voice of experience as well to help JKS out. And I'm talking about experience at like the top level, because the rest of these players haven't had it. I'll say this now. I feel like this is a team that can make it through to stage two. If they can play like this, I'm putting them as a team. Like, it's not guaranteed. It's still going to be hard, because there's a lot of good teams in stage one. Yeah.
But I think there's definitely a path for them into stage two.
Yeah. And if they can keep this going.
What an upgrade for them. You know, from me looking at, you know, an event page and them being on the list, and I just automatically X them. In the past to now, they're exciting. I want to watch more of them. And potentially they can make it through to a playoff. We're talking about the major, a next stage, not a playoff at a major.
Exactly.
But at a normal tournament, I could see them actually getting a playoff spot at this point.
Let me ask you this, because obviously some of them do live in Australia. Obviously JKS and Azza, I think they still live in Europe. Obviously Regali lives in Europe. If you're them and if you're the management, the major is less than a month away for them. So they probably have to fight a major on maybe like November 21st. Do you now just go to Serbia and boot camp for the rest of the time?
I mean, I think
I would love if they did that.
These decisions are always kind of depending on how burnt out your players feel, or the energy that you see in practice or in everyday kind of life.
The last event they did before this was Draculan, you know? So they've only just got to this event and gone from there.
So I'd assume they have a lot of energy, and especially, you know, you kind of get an energy boost, you know, you're in a major, you want to do well. So in that sense, yeah, I'd probably go for a decision to just boot camp for 3 weeks or whatever it is to be in shape. And I think that they could probably do a lot of good in those 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, there's one more team we need to touch on because then it's playoffs after that and we'll do it on the next episode. Astralis. Yep. Still a bit of an embarrassment. And I don't know if this is because I'm holding them to higher expectations. I don't know if this is because I expect more from them. They beat a 3D Max, which actually would be a good win, but we saw 3DX performance across the whole event was not good. They beat an MIBR with a stand-in from the Academy team, not even playing with their full roster. They lost the Bait 2-0, they lost the Legacy 2-0. Now, the crazy game was, I actually thought they were going to win against Aurora. They had Rugger playing as coach. Rugger, by the way, across the series from 19 for 48. It's not great, but he wasn't terrible. Like, he's a coach, bro. He's not playing. Like,
no, I mean, he did the best he could. And, you know, a couple of rounds, he was running first and just kind of betrayed that, kind of taking over a little bit of Hooks' role in that sense on the T sides. But, I mean, you could definitely see he's not in match pace in terms of Counter-Strike.
But the one thing there, they would have won.
Well,
they would have won that and been playoffs.
The one thing I'll give credit for Rugga was that if you looked at the game, the amount of times I saw Astralis laughing, smiling, having a good time.
He was like, shooting bodies. I was watching Rugga shoot dead bodies to try and kill Aurora. This was classic.
But this is the best mood I've seen since they were at Astana. You know, when Hooksy just came in and they were having a great time no matter who they were playing. And you can see the effect it has on them as a team.
Yep.
But also, if we go back to the point that you were making, that holding them to a higher standard, actually, you know, in a weird way, I'm like, okay, yeah, Bait is ranked number 22, they're ranked 13. I think that Astralis is that more rank of that rank than they are posing with this rank 13. So in that sense, I think it's a little bit more of a 50-50 game in terms of Legacy winning. Legacy probably should be winning. Mm-hmm. And who else do we have? MIBR, obviously, they won. Am I missing a game here?
3D Max won.
3D Max won. That one is probably more of a shock to me that they won.
Yeah, but that's just because how bad 3D Max are playing across the whole tournament, right, that we spoke about.
Yes, but overall, I probably think they are in a fair placing in terms of going out 2-3. I don't think they necessarily should be making playoff in this tournament, considering what I've seen.
That's what I mean. I just feel like it's still the name of the players they have and what we can... It's just that they're not reaching the potential, you know? It's not... They're not reaching to where they are supposed to be.
What is their potential, if we look at it?
Well, within Denmark, right? Maybe now they're going to start looking at, like, changes. I don't know, after the majors, see how they do. But like, this isn't a team now which is even close to title contenders. You just said like maybe making playoffs is just a dream scenario, but it's the Astana one that sold me on a high.
Yeah.
The Astana one was a lie. That's the sad part.
I mean, I think they can play really well, but I think they need to kind of look at this Aurora game. What actually made them play this good? With having someone have 0.5 rating in a game and they were competitive against number 9 in the world.
Yep.
And I mean, the simple answer is enjoy the game, you know? The vibe check, like, they were having so much fun and you play better, you respond better, you're faster. Like, it's just human, you know, all of these, what do you even call it? The chemistry of your brain, everything. Everything just works better when you're in a good mood and you're happy. And it's especially relevant in something that is not, you know, extremely physical. It's just decision-making. And I think that is the key element of why they were even competitive. If they were sitting there in their normal mood, you know, seeing either, you know, Jabby or someone kind of smashing their table or doing weird faces, I think they would have gotten crushed against an Aurora. But just because they had that vibe, I think that's what they need to work on. Them. Like, how do you recreate that even when the Vice is playing?
Yeah. Well, the playoffs right now are going on. The quarterfinals have finished, but we're going to save that until after. We'll do the whole playoff wrap up. We'll now go into some news, some of the stuff that's been happening in the news. First one I want to look at is a name of a blast from the past is Cold Zero again is changing teams. Like, I understand he can bring a lot to different players and different teams, and I'm sure people want to play with him, right? But like, it does feel like every team he's been a part of hasn't had the success. Like, he's never on a team in Brazil that I think is going to make the major, you know?
I'd agree on that.
I'm not seeing any of them. I don't know. He's not put down that he wants to retire or anything yet.
I think, I mean, it's obvious.
He must be getting towards the end of it.
He's not at the state or stage in his career where he can maybe compete in that sense, like he did in the past. I still think, he could probably, make a shock return in some sense, like a legacy, just pop out of nowhere with a team, but everything needs to click.
And, but he was once on legacy and they've done better without him.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
You know, like for me, it's he's tried to IGL, He's tried to have some more support. He's done a lot of changes. He's worked with some young players, which I'm sure, by the way, I would go out and say this, that he at least has helped some of the younger players he's playing with. But I think for him now, it's just like going to be tier three, tier two Brazilian teams. And yeah, he's a legend of the game, but it doesn't seem like he can be on the right track to succeed, you know?
No, I mean, to be fair, I've seen him way too little in the past couple of years to even have a appropriate judgment call on him and where he's at. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see him back.
Last major that was Copenhagen. They made challenges with Legacy.
All right.
And then he got removed from Legacy. So obviously things change after that. But obviously storied career and stuff. I just think the best he can do at the moment is helping other younger players come up and giving them a bit of experience in different teams. That's what I would say for him.
I agree on that.
Huge one though. Our next bit of news. Actually, we've got a couple of bangers in the news today. Like the Cold Zero one's just a little light starter for everyone. OG bench Nico Doz and Chrism. Dude, maybe you bench one of them, but Chrism is for the future. So unless some other organization has come out and bought them and we're just waiting for that announcement. Obviously, it is the 31st of October right now, so maybe it'll come after. But both Chrism and Nico Doz were good in this team.
Yep.
Chrism is a promising IGL. I always respected just his grind. He's still so young. He's a promising IGL for Denmark. I'd love to see him eventually on an Astralis or something, right? If you want to stick full Danish, if they really want to stay the whole way with that. But this just did, like, for me, you were just starting to build. Now, I know you didn't make the major, but you didn't, like, maybe there's something else I'm missing. But it's definitely not, I would not be benching Chrism.
No, so I'm a bit, I'm shocked by this as well. I mean, I even think like for where they're at, Nico is a great great AWPer and Rifler. I think it suits the way they're playing. I just think it's a bit weird because, as you mentioned, they're just starting to get some land reps and they're just starting to get into the groove of things. I mean, if you look at this lineup in its essence, it's only 3 months old.
Yeah.
They just brought in Adam B. They just brought in Erz Dawson. They could, yes, they fucked up. I agree on the fuck up, especially on the Star Series event, because they could have earned like a huge amount of VRS points. And I even had them as favorites, considering how they've played online and the consistency they've had against some of the teams that was in the tournament. But totally flopped there. And yeah, I just think it's a weird one. Because they're obviously rumored to bring in KDM.
So this is it, right? This is where it gets more weird. Kadian's had a big break once again. Like, let's look. When was Kadian's last match? It was Astralis, the 17th of April, when they were trying to get through to the regional qualifier. And obviously, they lost to Bape, so they didn't make it to the Austin Major. And now I sit there and look at this and think, okay, you didn't make it to the Major. Makes sense. You got rid of Kadian. Kadian, though, hasn't played for a long time, and they're going to go and pick him up and use him as the IGL AWP, so he gets all the positions and ways that he wants to play.
Yeah.
But then who else do they get? Because you need a big name signing around that. Because, yes, Kadian might be able to come back into some form. Yeah?
Yeah.
But, like, this isn't one for the long-term future, in my opinion. I as of right now, because it's only the Kadian rumor, I don't know where else this is going. Because Kadian, Aristose, Adam B, Spooky.
No, I honestly don't know either. Because you need a really big, heavy hitter. And I mean, if you just look at the stats from their time period, Nikodos, he had a 111, Christian had a 102. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's still good. It's good. They're all consistently, you know, a good team. And yeah, I just have a hard time arguing the benching of especially Christian.
Yeah.
For this one, I thought he was one of the most exciting IGLs coming out of the kind of tier two, tier three scene.
I guess, right? You wouldn't take Kadian as just an AWPer. Yeah. Like, he's going to want to IGL AWP. Yeah. You're just going to want him to AWP and IGL. So then that's why Christian gets the boot. But I mean, maybe Astralis is going to make some changes. Maybe Stown. Maybe we were all lied to and Stown's coming with him to OG. Maybe that's a thing.
It could be. And I mean, that would definitely raise the bar of this team to a certain extent. You know, Stown, he's had a little bit of a break to reinvent himself. He obviously did not have a great time in the end in Astralis.
No. But
this could be, you know.
But he's supposed to be coming back, right? They said the rumored comeback, and it's just so he can deal with some things.
Yeah, but I'm just disappointed by the move in general, because I think if you gave this team that they just kind of assembled another season, I think they would, you know, I think they would surprise a lot of people and bump up in the rating. I think they would be more along the lines of where, you know, Gentlemates are, or maybe even push a little bit further than that. So I saw a lot of potential in the team just because I felt like they had all the pieces they needed to progress.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of a hard reset on that. And it's just disappointing to see you never get, because 3 months is not enough to kind of.
Nope.
It's just not. That's the disappointing part.
I think this is an L move from OG until I see what the other player is going to be with Kadian. But I still just think it's an L move because I'm with you. I like what Chrism was doing. I can maybe like look at the Nikodos benching and think maybe there was some super talent they were going to get, like some young talent coming through. But it doesn't look like that. So this is a meh move for me right now.
Yeah.
Now there is a rumor coming out from Overdrive originally. I'm just going to translate the message as well. So let me do this. 100 Thieves returning. It's been a long time. They had a lot of problems, 100 Thieves, when they came to CS, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't great. Why is this not translating? There we go. So if we do this, translate. 100 Thieves is back in CS. Rain signed the contract on the condition that the strong core would be bought out. Priority, 3 Gamer Legion players. Now, it was Overdrive that reported it, but then I think HLTV have even said about it as well. So more information has come out. So 100 Thieves reportedly, Rain. Building around Rain and letting him IGL with 100 Thieves money, a big American organization. Okay, they're not coming back to North America. That's pretty cool. Now, the core of players that they're supposed to want, right? From Game Elysian, who was it?
It was PR, Res, and Towson.
Towson. That's a good three to take. With Reyna's IGL. Three. And then what? You just need an AWPA, which obviously they could probably pick between quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, it's super exciting.
Good VRS points.
Yeah.
Taking that call from Game Legion. And Game Legion love to sell players, by the way. Let's make this clear. Game Legion is a powerhouse for selling and making moves. They do this very well. Do you think this is a good move for Reign if he gets to IGL?
I mean, it's definitely a good kind of starting block for him.
Better than BC game?
Yeah, I think so. I think also, I mean, a lot of it depends on where they go with the coach as well to kind of give him a hand in terms of IGLing. But I think he has everything he needs for being an IGL. I think he's very calm. He's very, you know, consistent in that way. And he's a funny guy. I think it could be really, really exciting for him. And it's probably, he probably feels that it's the right step right now for him, where, you know, he's not the star player. He's not going to have the same output anymore. So placing himself in that bracket is going to buy him a couple of years in potentially the top.
Would you coach this team?
I think it would be a super exciting team to coach. But,
see?
Yeah. But I'm still not in the coaching.
I just mean, if 100 Thieves came to you, right, tomorrow, and they said, we got this team, yeah? Don't know who our fifth's going to be yet. We need a coach. Would you join?
I mean, you definitely have to think about it, I think.
How? See, I'm expecting you to be like, yeah, I'd do it. You're like, definitely to think about it. Dude, it's Reign, Rez, ZCR, no, not ZCR, sorry, Rez, PR, and Towson.
Yeah. I think it's a solid lineup. I think it is.
This is a rumor I'm happy to hear. I'm sure 100 people aren't happy that it got leaked in any way, but the fact that they're returning and it's going to be of a European team, if they can sign this core as well, that would be huge. So I'm down for it. I like this one.
Yeah.
This is a positive. Compared to the OG situation, this is a win move in my books. This is what I can get behind.
I mean, it's a little bit sad for Ash going like, oh.
Again, every time.
He recently released like a video of rating all top prospects in the scene. Maybe that's part of why
he's already ready for this.
He's already, you know, I have to work on this now, so I might as well do a video.
Oh, I'm back once again, guys, rebuilding my team. So may as well do it for some content at the same time, get all the views from it.
Why not?
Yeah. Okay, from here, this is a bit more where you can break things down for me, mate. We've had adjustments already to rating 3.0.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think when we talked about when VRS came out, I said it was a little bit overtuned in some sense.
Yes, you did. I remember that you said on this show.
Yeah. And I think this is probably, you know, why? Because it almost felt like the normal base stats didn't matter anymore. It was only about, you know, that round swing and some stats looked a little bit weird in terms of impact. But so they've changed a lot of what percentage actually matters compared to before. So previously it was 12% of the rating was determined by kills, 12% determined by damage, 12% determined by multifrags, 40% was determined by round swing. Survival, 12%, and cast, which is kills, assist, survival, or trades, was another 12%.
Yep.
Now the change is that kills went from 12% to 25%.
Okay.
In, how it matters.
Yep.
Damage went from 12% buffed to 15%.
So a small increase, but a decent one.
Yeah. Multi-kills was previously 12%. It's now 4%.
Oh.
So it has a very, very limited impact.
Ooh. But multi-kills are valuable.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where how much should you wager into it, because you're obviously already getting the impact for the kill, and like how much are you timing it just because it's a multi-kill.
But
I agree that it's a hard one to balance, I think. But either way, round swing went from 40% to 33% now.
That's still good that massive. Came down. Still good
still
that came
massive,
down though.
But yeah, it's good that it came down. The survival 12% is buffed to 15%. And cast, which is kills, assists, survival, or trades, was 12%. It went to 8%. So I will send this picture so it's actually up for you guys when you watch the vote.
And you said they've adjusted eco-adjusted kills as well, right? So that's a positive. Like that I think that's very important.
Yeah, and there was also something I read about it where sometimes when people were, you know, saving or killing or hunting people down, or it was in some save scenario, I can't find it here just quickly, but it was some weird thing where they had to like manually intervene into matches and change because the system thought it was like a clutch win, but it wasn't really. So people won a lot more clutches because people were hunting kills and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, the only one that really gets buffed from this I also saw was Donk.
The of
overall
course.
rating. So he went from before...
More Donk buffs.
Yeah, he went from before he was a 134 rating. Now he's a 138 overall.
Okay.
And yeah, he's the only one that's really...
Do you think it's a positive change then? Do you think this is a good step forward for it already?
I think it's a good step forward. I'm not 100% sure I agree with all the percentages, but I also don't really have any valid criticisms of how I would change. I probably need to put a little bit more thought into it, what I would consider more important. But I think it was definitely good that kills, just as a bare bone of stats, is still more important than 12%.
Yep.
Because it's, in essence, I think it probably to some degree might even, or should probably be even to the round swing. Now it's 25 versus 33. But it's a good adjustment. I think it's a good adjustment.
All right, from here, this is actually quite an interesting topic, is pay to enter tournaments. So the one that came under the spotlight recently is a company who's kind of new to all of this, coming out of Georgia. They're called X21. And basically, they want for people to start playing in this, right? $1,000 for each team who enters the tournament. But that starts from 64 teams entering online. Now, supposedly, they already had a lot of teams take interest in this because it'll be like VRS side of things. But for people to know, and I think maybe people don't realize, is events like Draculan and the Rigger one and stuff like that, they're also paid to enter tournaments, yeah? So effectively, tier two, tier three teams who attend these events are paying just to enter the tournament. I don't know exactly what numbers there are.
$1,000 sounds expensive.
Does sound expensive, but it's because these teams are so desperate for these VRS tournaments, right? So these tier two lands are popping up. Like, I don't know how about Draculan, what the cost was or anything, but tier two teams are not paying, like they're not getting their hotels paid, not getting their flights paid, nothing like that. But to have a VRS event that's on LAN and get these LAN points, the teams are paying. Like we saw this with the Fnatic going to that Fragadelphia, right? With all their flights and stuff, they didn't even make close to the prize money. It was like 20K or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're paying to attend as well. So it's about, say, 1,000, roughly. Now, these people have come up and they've said they're going to do an online event. Yeah. Then it goes to, where is it? 16 teams advance to open qualifier. Where's the LAN? And then playoffs, 8 teams, single elimination, best of 3. But their goal here, right, is obviously it's $20,000 prize pool, but they're going to make more than that. Obviously, they've got to account for their costs at the same time. I feel like, yeah, some people can be skeptical of this, but there's obviously going to be a lot of teams, probably Eastern European teams, signing up to this, teams that are desperate. But this makes me a bit sad overall that, like, still then the organizations with money are going to be the ones that can send their teams there to do it. You know? Like, this wouldn't be a Bad News Eagles style story where they can all go, pay $1,000 and just attend themselves and do it all. You know, if they had no organization, no backing to do it. And we're just going to see more of this, especially when they put the dates correctly in order to be just ahead of the major cutoff. And, you know, more of these teams are going to sign up and go for it. Like, this is not the first and this will not be the last. But I will not be surprised if this does really well. Like, as people have been skeptical of it, it's obviously it's a brand new event. Messi also has made some tweets about it as well, saying, like, it's a new organization, this is a scam, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think the fans know that many teams are already signing up to these kind of events. And people are getting involved in it.
Well, it's interesting. I wonder what you actually get for those, like, 1K when you actually go to LAN. But personally, I think that's a bit expensive.
But would you say it's expensive though, even for like the Draculan example? Because Draculan is just a LAN. Yeah. I don't know how, by the way, Draculan, you can reach out and tell me, but I don't know if it's $1,000 or whatever they're doing. I'm trying to read, I had some messages about it. So there is one, Draculan season 3 is supposed to be $1,000 from what I've looked at here on digitalcrusade.romania.
But this is $1,000 to enter an online tournament, no?
It starts online, but you can qualify to the LAN basically, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's the difference. That's the bit where people can be a bit more worried. But the LAN finals, group stage and playoffs is 16 teams coming from the open qualifier.
Because I remember, I mean, even now this wasn't like big, but like in 1.6 at the end, we used to have like these cash cups every weekend where people basically, there was no sponsors or anything. It was just like a dude hosting a tournament and people sent him money and that eventually became the prize pool. Yeah. I would be way more, you know, invested in a tournament like this if the registration fee actually bumped up the actual prize pool of the tournament.
Yeah.
That would get me way more invested in something like this. And I think that probably, you know, I'm not saying that everything needs to go there, but a part of it at least bumping it up.
Yeah, no, I get that. They got a $20,000 prize pool, but yeah, it's still not close to if you have 64 teams in there. Obviously, they've got operating costs as well. But yeah, there's some differences in to look at it. But I think we will see a lot more of these style events popping up. People obviously have to be careful, do their research. I will just say that because people are so desperate to do these events, yeah, and to get the VRS points, we're going to see more of this. This is going to be more happening, a lot more going down, and that's where we're at next for sure.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how it pans out.
Yeah, let's wait and see how the first one goes for him. We'll keep an eye on it. So, Chengdu time, my friend. Now, the first thing I want to start off with here, I'm not going to Chengdu, but I am going to Chengdu. I'm going to Chengdu to do a watch party with fans, and I'm launching my first mouse pad. So I've been working on a mouse pad for over a year now. Some of the players within the top 10 have personally used it, tested it. You'll see some of them using it at up-and-coming events as well, probably after the major. I don't think they're going to switch to it right now. But this is something I've been working on my own with a company called ESP Tiger. But this is my own product. I've spent a lot of time on it. I put a lot of love into it. Obviously, I wanted to make something that was professional grade and gear. This isn't just like I took a mouse pad. I've got a video coming out. And it shows the amount of mouse pads I went through and tested and gone through. So I'm going to China for that. I'm going to have a watch party in Shanghai and Chengdu where we're going to watch the games together. So
just
I'm excited
by the
to go
way,
to China.
This ES Tiger brand is sick. I've actually tested some of their stuff in the past and I love it. I have a bunch of their mouse pads in my closet and I've used them.
Good stuff.
Like, I use them every once in a while. So I like their products. I think they're good quality stuff.
I'll tell you this, right? I spoke to so many different people who just make mouse pads and stuff. And even some mouse pads you see from famous players, and they've released at quite a high price, they're not good. They're just like mouse pad with a logo and some nice, and it works, you know?
Yeah.
I've tried to do something where I took so much feedback from actual pro players and listening to what people wanted and trying to up the quality thing that I'm really excited for this. It's something new for me, something to try out and do. but I put a lot of love and time into it. So I'm really excited to go to China and do
that. You got
to
send me one as well when you got one.
Of course, man. Of course. I'll let you test it out as well. But Chengdu gets interesting. And I'm going to say one thing about Chengdu to start off with, because Chengdu had 3D Max, Astralis and Pain, all doing both Bucharest and Chengdu. If any of those teams got to the final, it'd be very hard for them to get to Chengdu. They'd probably get some fines. Pain did just get eliminated by Legacy. Yep. So actually for Pain, they had a good performance overall. They still lost to Legacy. So they'll be going to Chengdu and have no problems with making it there. They're also going to be at Blast Rivals in Hong Kong. 3D Max and Astralis got eliminated earlier, so they've got no problems. So there's actually zero problems, you know? None of the teams, like Aurora's not there at this one. We've got Vitality, Furia, Mouse, Mongols, Falcons, Spirit, Na'Vi, G2, 3D Max, FaZe, Astralis, Pain, Heroic, Tyloo, Virtus Pro, and Lin Vision. Pretty strong team for Chengdu. I'm excited for this event because it's got crowd at every stage in the group stages as well. So that's good. That makes it very fun for the fans.
I mean, for me, just the elephant in the room is Mongols. Looking at the event itself, you know, like how are they going to cope without their star player of Sensu? You know, they brought in someone named Controlus. Recently was on Chinggis Warriors. So I think that's going to be a big one for me. Like, are they going to be able? They've obviously been in a slump. They're probably known that Sensu is about to leave. Is this going to be a pick me up, or are they going to falter a little bit with Controlus coming in? Because, you know, in no shape or sense or form or whatever you want to call it, is he going to be able to replace Sensu?
No. And it was last minute. Oh, do you know what? We can actually say this now because obviously we touched on the Sensu news when it came out. For Sensu, this is definitely nothing to do with he did something bad in the team or the team didn't want him. This, to me, what we've seen on all the reports, a guy from Mongolian News came out of it as well. It's a burnout thing. I'll say this, right? We already spoke that it could be a burnout thing when we did the previous episode. So we already touched on what it could be. This now is almost, it's not come out of Senzu's mouth, but it seems proven. I'll say this, the Mongolian fans, whenever I meet them, whether we're in the crowds and we're speaking to them, I've done so many interviews with different people from Mongolia. It's always incredible. But they are also on the other side. When the guys do bad, Mazinho, who's the closest Mongols player I am to, who I speak to more often, my G over here, he is someone who regularly deactivates his Instagram account and then activates it again. They must get a lot of messages, bombardment and stuff. And also they are so young. This is not an easy thing to go through. And I'm sure, even though I meet all the nice Mongolian fans, there's probably some that are not so nice. Yeah. Giving them shit when they play bad, abusing them and stuff like that, which happens to all players. So for some people, it's not worth doing, you know? Sensu obviously needed a break. He was smart for his mental health. So I will respect that. It's a 100%. Really bad situation and I hate it for the Mongols. But one thing, what you said about Mongols coming in, our expectations will be lower. But guess what? I expect every member of that team to step up more than beyond like what their normal level is. I feel like they will come together because they are so close and they will deliver. I'm not saying they're going to go win the event. I'm not going to say they're going to go and make playoffs, but I just say it won't be like they just lose every game and fall off completely.
I'm scared that they might be in a place like that just because if someone is fatigued in a team, it's very, very likely that other people are also fatigued in that team, that they're all having a sense of burnout, but might not have been taken as far as Sensu because of the amount of events that they have, you know, went to this year. I mean, I don't even know how many it is. But essentially, I'm scared that it's not only Sensu having issues and the other ones are kind of going at it as a normal Counter-Strike player would in some sense. I'm living the dream. Yeah. I have to push through. I have to continue doing this now that I'm here. So I'm still a little bit worried. I hope that's not the case, but I will flag it a little bit.
I will say this as well, though. I also hate all the fans that say, they're so lucky they get paid so much money to do this job. Blah. It's like, I'd understand you saying that if they were just not working hard. But like, some people, it's very hard to do this stuff. Some people, I mean, it's very hard history to be on the road all this time. Yeah, it's been nice. They got a whole country behind them. The whole country, including the government sponsorship and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, other teams to look at. I think this is a big one for G2. G2's not in Hong Kong. They're going to do Chengdu, then into the major. Obviously, the highs of London now feel like so long ago because it's been getting worse, you know? Performance in EPL wasn't great. But it's now time for them to show something. I want to see them have a better performance here. I'm a little bit worried about them, you know?
I'm going to do a Banks here.
Oh.
And I'm going to write a producer here.
Are you changing your prediction?
Yes.
Why are we calling that a Banks here? I did it once.
You did it first, therefore the name has been called.
Wow.
Banks.
Wow. All right. All right. That's fine. I'll accept that. I'll take that.
But if I overtake you in changes, you can call it a devil walk.
Okay. It's fine. We haven't started the predictions yet, so you're cool with that.
Yeah.
Who else is there to look at here? I think we spoke about Mongols, spoke about G2. Spirit. Obviously, losing to FaZe like they did. Obviously, it was the rain phase at the time in EPL. Wasn't a good look for them, considering how well their EPL did start off until they got to playoffs. We're expecting more. We're expecting them. Remember, China's been a very successful place for Spirit. They won the major there. All that magic.
Yeah. But there were still signs, you know, of Tenir capable of putting up numbers that you could argue that Sontix and Magix never really did. In the same degree, so I'm looking at it positively. Tenir getting a little bit more practice time with and getting into the groove of things. So I'm expecting a lot of good things from Spirit. I'm expecting them to be in kind of a major form.
For Na'Vi, I know the choke of Thunderpick is going to haunt them, but now they're coming into Chengdu. They're not doing Hong Kong, so they're just doing Chengdu. I want to see them continue, you know, this is all about progressing for the major. I'm not going to say they're title contenders, but I will say this is a team I expect to be at least in playoffs, maybe going for top four.
I think their bracket is probably the best bracket they're going to get. They have Mongols Heroic on the other side for the second game. They have Astralis in their first game. So I think there's like a slight ramp up for them until they get to that upper final. If they
some extra confidence building.
I think they have a great bracket for things to turn out good for them.
Yep. Mouse is an interesting one because they're still just a team that's not going to be titled contending, but they've had a good amount of time off. Like a lot of teams, if you think of both Vitality and Mouse, they haven't played in a month.
Yep. Definitely.
That gives them some time.
I mean, Mouse is almost like a guaranteed semi-finalist, and then they'll kind of crumble a little bit. I mean, that's how it's been. I mean, every single event, we can look at events for Mouse, ended events, third and fourth, second. You know, like, that's the last couple of events that they've had. Yeah. So they always get to that point. But hopefully, you know, them having a little bit of a break to get some practice in, maybe they can bump themselves up. But I wouldn't say that it's that likely. I'd put them in that semi-final spot.
All right, should we go on to our predictions? Because I don't think there's too many other interesting teams.
Yeah.
I guess actually, do you see Falcons as a title contender?
I think that would, like, Falcons to me almost seems like on the day.
Yep.
Kind of team, like they can be the
until
best
until they meet
team
Vitality.
Well, I think they have on a day they can play as good as Vitality, but they don't have the consistency. The thing is, they have a really high high, but they also have a pretty low low for one of these like top teams or like in the top 10 brackets. So I still think if they have like a really good tournament and everything is clicking. You know, Monis is playing well, Kioski is playing well, Nico is still up there. I still think they have what it takes to be a contender in a tournament like this. So
yeah,
absolutely.
With Kyosuke, I'm very interested to see how, if they make it to the Arena Falcons, how he deals with that, because this isn't just like a Fissure Arena, yeah?
Yeah.
He didn't make Arena in Cologne, so like he's only played Esports World Cup, which is a small studio, and Fissure. I don't think he played badly against Furia just because he was on stage, yeah? But I will say that the fans in China love him so much in a similar like Manasi, not like Manasi Nico is still the most popular, but because he's supposed to be the next thing, yeah? Same as like the, when they first saw Donk, they're going to give him so much love and there's going to be so much cheering and stuff.
It'll be his name probably helps.
It was Japanese style, but yeah. Kairosuke, I wonder what they call him. We have to ask some Chinese fans, what do they call him? But I want to see how he'll handle that, because that's another different level of thing, you know, like how crazy the Chinese fans can be. Because yeah, that's all something that this guy's learning and will factor into it at the same time. Let's go into our predictions. Let's go through it all.
Yep.
So we already gave these to our editor. He already knows in advance. So I'm a big, big fan of Ty Lue. They're playing Falcons in the first game. I do think Ty Lue, I'm just going to say this. Please, Ty Lue, make playoffs. Please, for the Chinese fans, for me, I want to see you make playoffs. But
it feels like how you lose money is when you bet with your heart instead of your brain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm also picking Falcons, even though
I am
like
picking Falcons.
Cool. Furia Lin Vision, where are you going?
Furia.
Same Furia. Mao's phase.
Going Mao's.
Cool. Did the same Mao's. Vitality VP.
Vitality.
Vitality. Remember, this is the first time we'll see VP. Actually, we didn't touch on it, but with the AWPer in, not Icy, that have actually hit the timing correctly. Beast is going to be playing, so there's still not much faith in what the VP guys can do. Mongols Heroic.
So this is where I went with a weird one.
Okay.
I picked Heroic. I liked what I've seen from them so far.
Yep.
I think Mongols, you know, it's such a big star that is kind of left out in this Mongol squad. I think you always looked at Sensu 9-10 to kind of bring you those star performances. And losing someone like that, I'm not sure they've had the time to kind of rediscover who's going to take up that responsibility.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit worried for Mongols. Therefore, I think they're going to need a little bit more time to kind of bump themselves up. So I picked.
Is this the one you changed?
No.
Okay. I chose Mongols, and my reason for Mongols over Heroic is Mongols would have been in Asia. Yeah. They're not, it's a 3-hour flight or 5-hour flight. It's not too long for them to come to Chengdu. I feel like the other four players on the team will step up, even if Controllers isn't so well rounded, and I still think they'll be Heroic.
All right.
G2 3D Max.
This is the one I changed.
Oh.
So originally I put 3D Max.
And you changed to G2.
I changed to G2. And a lot of that is, like, my argument essentially is that 3D Max, they come from PGL Bucharest. They'll probably have a little bit more of a time to kind of settle in into Chengdu. Yep. But at the same time, how much are they going to change and figure things out in those couple of days? Whilst I think G2's had a lot more time to kind of reinvent themselves, get Hunter a bit more used to calling. Also, I also see G2 as a very kind of prep-heavy team with Saw in the background, that they probably figured out a way to win their first game.
Well, I'm taking G2 as well. So I believe G2 over 3D Max. And I just think like it will be down to the fact that 3D Max won't be ready for this fight again, considering the form that they have been in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see it working out. Spirit Pain. I went Spirit.
I went Spirit as well.
Okay. I think Pain might be able to give him a run for their money, considering what we saw in Bucharest, but Spirit's a very different level of team compared to what they faced in Bucharest, so.
Yeah.
Na'Vi Astralis.
I picked Na'Vi.
Oh, good man. I picked Na'Vi as well, obviously. Couldn't ever pick Astralis against Na'Vi. That should be a comfortable game for Na'Vi, I feel like. But hopefully Device is back in feeling good. He said he just had food poisoning, so it's not something terrible. Food poisoning is terrible. I mean, like, it's not some long-term illness. He should be better by then. And then for overall winner, I'll start. I chose Vitality, not just because of the EPL win, but I feel like they've got back to that rhythm. Remember what Apex told us when he did the sit-down interview with us? If you haven't watched it, definitely watch it. It's timeless. It's not about just now. They loved it when they would have a break between events. It's been 3 weeks since they last played. So I reckon they had a week and a half break. Yeah, and then a week and a half practice. They go to Chengdu early. Some of them I saw were flying out a couple of days ago. So they're obviously, they've got a very good organization. They come out early. They pay for the extra hotel or flight or whatever. They're adjusted. They're ready. Vitality is going to come into this charged up. I think Flamesy is going to stay in shape and in form. I saw some cute pictures on Instagram of him and his girlfriend. So he's had a bit of happy, normal lifetime as well. So I'm just imagining. I'm imagining a Vitality power up before the major.
Well, I also picked Vitality, and a lot for the same reasons. I think the biggest thing that kind of pulled me in is that even though Saivu and Rops, they're there, they don't necessarily need to be on point every single game when you have Flamesy and Messi kind of popping up in performances. Even Apex can do it at times where he just carries a map. I think they're just too well-rounded with players that can give you like a 2.0 rating sometimes in a map, that it's just too big for some of these teams to, obviously, some of them a bit shaky. I mean, we can even look at like Furious being a little bit shaky form-wise, Mongols going through changes, 3D Max not having consistency, Spirit being a little bit more of an unknown, and Falcons being a bit inconsistent. I think everything in terms of that, I think Vitality have all of those things, and they're on a little bit of a higher level than their counterparts.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we are. Chengdu. It should be good. Like I said, crowd for all of it. That's going to be nice and fun for the Chinese fans. I'll be checking it out as well at the same time. I'm excited to see what can happen there. There are predictions there. We think it's going to go. We're getting very close to the major now. So the last thing to do on this shorter episode is Q&A. I'll start with the first one. Mr. Mars, he says, back once again, this time from good old Texas. Yeehaw. He put a cowboy sign, but I'm just saying yeehaw. What's been your favorite event to host for Banks? And for Devil, same question, but as a coach and player. My favorite event to host? Oh, dude. Stockholm 2021 was amazing because it was the first time I was like stage host for a major. Obviously, Navi went on to win it, but obviously had some personal things that were very sad. But I'll just say, like, because the crowd came back from not having any events because of COVID, and it was the first arena event, so it was just extra energetic. But I'll say the best ever stage hosting I've had is in Antwerp, because I say this many times to people, when I stood on the stage for that Navi phase final, when the crowd was roaring 18,000 strong, the energy in the air, the goosebumps I had on my hand, I could feel the air when people are cheering. I could feel like my suit jacket moving. I don't know how to describe it. That was just incredible. It was crazy. And you also worked that one as a talent.
I'll give two answers. I'll give a boring one. When I won the major, I liked the DreamHack ones in general. They had a very kind of old school, very family feeling. Even with the production, you could go backstage, talk to people who were working, even that kind of stuff, and just have a chat. So very like open, good people overall. And obviously being Swedish, it was easy to interact with them. But yeah, I liked that as a player coach. But in terms of like analyst work, it's 100% Antwerp. That event made me cry. Just looking at, you know, even, you know, like the Golden Hornets cheering or walking the streets. It made me very emotional, like how far we've come from, you know, 2012, 13 to where we were today. So, yeah, that one is a special one.
Next question is from Mizelion. How do you say that? Messiah Lion. Okay, we'll go with that. Do you think the CS competitive scene overly focuses on individual performance stats and downplays the team play, good utility, support play? If you believe that is the case, do you think organizations make this way so that it could bring more viewers and more discussion? You can answer that one to start with, Devil.
I don't know what he means by organizations, but I mean, it 100% overfocuses on the individual performances and stats. But the reason why is because when you're in a team environment, you hear the communication, you have all the info, you have all the facts. Sometimes, you know, a player can look like a complete idiot in-game. But with the context of, you know, maybe someone missed a comm or they were talking, he was supposed to do a thing, he does something else. And that player just looks bad and therefore, you know, he dies or makes a play that just looks terrible. It's not really his fault. He did the right thing, but the player that isn't involved in the action is the reason why it happened. And you don't have that context when you're looking from the outside. And therefore, you're focusing on the only thing that's really relevant for you that you can decipher and interpret in the right way. And that is the stats and individual kind of play. So I understand why the focus is like that, but it's definitely, it's hard to kind of find a way to bridge that gap as well, because players and teams don't really want their team speaks to be public. So there's no real solution for it either. And we just kind of have to live with it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's the same as when people are looking at, say, defenders in football. Yeah, you can make a great defense the whole time, but it's always the goal scorers that are going to get all the attention. You know, they're the stars. The guy in the midfield who's setting someone up all the time for the strikers, not getting it in the same way. This is a sport problem overall. I think in 1v1 sports, it's a bit easier to do. But I do think we do over-focus on it. And even when you have good analysts who many times on a broadcast point out, well, he actually did this and this and this, yeah? No fans going, yeah, but his rating was 0.8, so I don't care about that play. You know, they'll underplay it. So I think it's just a inherent problem, not just in Counter-Strike, but in esports as a whole and normal sports as well. And that's just the way
I think it's also like these small things, right? Where you look at someone who's buying time, he's playing triple, he's not overpeaking, he's surviving for 3-4 extra seconds, and the rotation comes in and gets all the kills. But the only thing that really enabled him to get those kills is the guy dancing or hiding or buying time in triple. But he doesn't get anything on the stats for that.
Nope.
It's a sacrificial play for the team. Him taking magics, a peek, getting magics, a kill, dying before that happens, gives him more rating than it would him just staying alive. So
you know what's crazy with what you're just saying as well? People only start to notice these things when the teams win trophies. Before they win trophies, it's like people didn't talk about Perfecto, people didn't talk about Magics. Then they win some trophies. Oh, look at how he gives this to Donk. Look how he does this. Look at Perfecto. He's like so good at just holding the site and good for one, blah, blah, blah. You know, that conversation doesn't come up until they get a trophy or two or three in their hands.
Yeah.
The last question is just for you. So you can read it out and you can answer it.
Question for Devilwalk from our, our most
resident question asker.
Yeah, resident question asker, Scourger. Will we get a deep dive analysis like you've done on the All About Counter-Strike podcast at the major? If no, who is the individual at StarLadder who hasn't listened to the podcast yet? And do they have a spare hour? I'd like to share something with them. Either way, congratulations on being invited to the major. Well deserved. Thank you so much, Scourger. And yes, I hope to do as much as I can in deep diving, in, you know, sharing my thoughts and kind of analyzing plays in a bit of a different way than we've had in the past. Obviously, it all depends on how well we can kind of get that into, you know, a live session on the desk or maybe even afterwards or however we want to
pre-record it.
Yeah, it's going to be... something that we have to kind of ball with each other and find the right solution for. But I definitely want to do it. I think it's a great thing to have. And I think it's also fun and engaging and a learning experience for people overall. So, and I enjoy doing it. So I think it's a win-win for everyone. So hopefully, yes.
Hey, and Skorga, if you said you have something you want to tell them to make sure they do it, send it to us on Discord and we will make sure we send it to the right people at StarLadder to try and make it happen, because I'll advocate for that all day long as well. But that is it. We're at the end of episode 30 of the All About Counter-Strike podcast. I'm going to keep it nice and brief. Just thank you very much for all the support, the views. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment. We're always trying to just reply to the comments and stuff as well. keep sending in your questions, join the Discord. We're trying to build the community out there where we just answer all the questions you guys ask. It's exciting times ahead. Counter-Strike is looking better. Market crashes are happening. Stewie scams might be real or might not. And we're not going to talk about it until we actually find out what the end is, because I'm not going to do like a guessing game thing, because someone on my Twitch chat was like, what do you think of the Stewie stuff? I'm like, bro, I can't even follow all this right now. When the truth comes out, I'll give all my opinions. But right now, it doesn't look good. This is just part of all that madness. We've had the JKM moment. Maybe we'll have a Stewie moment. Either way, we'll keep talking about Counter-Strike. We'll be here because this is the All About Counter-Strike podcast. Devwalk, any final words?
No, just, if you enjoy, comment, subscribe. And hope you had a good time listening to us.
And we'll see you for episode 31 in just a few days. Thank you very much. Goodbye.